final case for argument is 21-1942, Provisor v. Weber, once again, with different advocates. Good morning, Ms. Horton.
Yes. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Sarah Horton. I'll remove my mask. And I represent Provisor Technologies on this appeal today. The first issue I want to discuss is the board's decision on the surface area limitation, which was not supported by substantial evidence and deprived Provisor of its rights under the APA. That element, element 1.5, which I won't read to you, requires that a surface area be determined. The board did not address this limitation in its final written decision, and instead, at Appendix 13, erroneously found that Provisor, quote, did not dispute that petitioner had demonstrated that the combined teachings of Whitehouse and Tonneson and Hardy describe or suggest the limitations of the claim other than the digital image receiving device element 1.3.
Can I just ask you about that? Usually, we assume that everybody behaves competently and reasonably. So I guess if we accept what you're saying, how did this happen?
Your Honor, I don't know how this happened. The petitioner, obviously, the limitation is in the claims. It's in every single one of the independent claims, 1, 9, and 13. The board's institution decision at Appendix 1434 recognized Provisor had a counter-argument on that limitation. Provisor's patent owner response and declaration from Dr. Howard further argued this point at Appendix 1505 and 1508, and then again at 2055 to 2058. Weber's reply recognized the dispute, albeit in a footnote, but it recognized the dispute at Appendix 2124. And then Provisor also addressed this issue in its SIR reply at Appendix 2543 to 44. So we believe the issue is squarely before the board. The board just did not address it and instead mistakenly found that the element was met, which we do not believe that it was, holding Provisor's claims unpatentable. We think this was an error. The court made no findings on the surface area limitation in violation of the APA, and we think that the Romova case that we cite in our blue and yellow briefs is instructive. There, the board held unpatentable claims using arguments that the petitioner didn't make, and the court ruled that the board did not adequately explain the basis for its findings, stating that the board must, quote, set forth a sufficiently detailed explanation of its determinations, both to enable meaningful judicial review and to prevent...
Your case is more straightforward. We're not parsing whether or not there was a sufficient amount of stuff said.
Correct.
Your position is nothing was said.
Nothing was said.
And you're asking, a reversal clearly would not be in order, right, if what you're suggesting is just the board, for whatever reason, neglected to deal with something. A typical response would be remedy would be a remand so that they could do what they should have maybe done in the first instance, right?
Well, potentially, Your Honor, a remand might be the appropriate remedy, but we do think reversal is appropriate here because the final written decision the board found, that Antonison and other evidence, which we think was inappropriate, was the aspect of the Weber's petition that showed the camera or the digital image receiving device and not Whitehouse.
What would you suggest we do if we reverse?
If you were to reverse, I think the finding is that Weber has not met its burden of proof to show that the that the claims that include this limitation are unpatentable. They have not shown that that its petitioned prior art I do have to read the claim limitation.
Would that be appropriate if there's been no findings on any underlying facts? There's been no findings for us to do that now? Or should we remand and have the board look at this issue?
So the findings that the board has made are that Antonison plus Whitehouse plus Hardy render the claims in ground one of Weber's petition unpatentable. The final written decision at page 17 finds that it is Antonison and Antonison's camera that is used for the aspects of the claims that require a camera or data or the digital image receiving device. It used Antonissen's camera at the location of White House's sensor, but did not rely on White House's length scanner. There's findings to that effect. White House is the only thing in the record that the petitioner relies on that could determine surface area. It's not Antonissen's camera, it's White House. But the final written decision does not use White House's sensor in the obviousness combination. In fact, at the oral argument at Appendix 3079, the board agreed.
You're saying that Antonissen doesn't use a camera?
No, Your Honor, I'm sorry if I misspoke. Antonissen does use a camera. Right. The problem with Antonissen is that Antonissen specifically states that it does not image the surface area. So that's this limitation we're talking about. Antonissen says at Appendix 658, Column 4, Lines 51 through 55, that the system of Antonissen, its camera, is adjusted specifically to exclude portions of the surface area. So that is the reason we think that reversal is appropriate here because of this.
If you're right that the board simply overlooked this argument and this element, then it follows, doesn't it? There's nothing for us to review, and we have to let the board tell us what they think on this issue. Isn't that right?
Your Honor, respectfully, I think that there are fact findings that the board has made that lead that could lead
this. You're arguing the necessary or possible implication of it, I take it, but wouldn't we normally want the board's view on that?
Yes, Your Honor. Actually, in the Romolva case that I just cited to the board where this happened, there was a remand, and that is what happened there. The result of the remand is that the claims were patentable.
I can see a reversal if the board makes an actual finding, and we reverse that finding, and perhaps even substitute our own finding in that place. Have a straight up reversal. But if we follow your argument, the board never considered, or it looks like they didn't consider this and never addressed it, then I wonder how appropriate it is for us to reverse it. So I'm echoing what Judge Stark was saying, but
understood. Your Honor, I think the Romolva case then is the most instructive here, and that does say to vacate and remand. The next issue is the improper evidence issue, which I want to touch on briefly. There, we believe the board abused its discretion in allowing in late evidence from petitioner and then using that evidence as highly probative in its obviousness finding on the image receiving device or the digital image receiving device limitation that was so hotly contested during the proceedings below.
Why don't you help us on where's the unfair prejudice to your client on that? I understand it's prejudicial because it's highly probative evidence, but where's the unfair prejudice?
Sure. The unfair prejudice comes in this way. The procedure by which that IPRs are supposed to happen per the statute and per the regulations is that the petitioner sets forth its grounds in its petition. Weber did that, and they relied on Antonissen and White House to show this digital image receiving device. Then after reviewing Provisor's patent owner response, it added new evidence related to that same element that about the Electrum 1000 camera, and then later on recross of its expert and its deposition in our deposition of its expert of the 1000N. The board then used that evidence in the prejudicial way that you just mentioned.
It was a response to your making an argument that I think they didn't anticipate, that your camera was somehow different than the camera in the prior art, and the evidence they put in, you say late, showed that there really was no difference between those cameras.
Sure. So first on that logic, Your Honor, which I think is in the Weber's red brief, I think that if that is the standard for when you are allowed to use reply evidence, then in response to any argument a patent owner makes in its responsive brief, there could be new evidence. And that just doesn't seem to be
fair. I'm not buying that. I mean, we're dealing with the facts here, and it seems to me that their petition did talk about the disclosure in the prior art of a digital camera. And they reply to your contentions that you responded to. You've got an abuse of discretion standard of review here.
Sure.
And the board is on the ground watching all this paper fly back and forth. So I think it's quite hard to get there.
So on to the prejudice point, which I didn't quite answer, and then I will answer your question if that's okay, Judge Prost. In response to the evidence that they added during reply, we were, yes, allowed to make attorney argument as to why they were wrong. We were allowed to file a surreply and did file a surreply. What we were not allowed to do is add any of our own substantive evidence regarding why we thought they were wrong or other evidence on the issues of the Electrum 1000N or the Electrum 1000. Our expert was not allowed to opine on it. There was no opportunity for us to do that. So
that is prejudicial. Their expert on that, right?
We took an expert deposition of their expert on the evidence that they had included in their reply in their new expert deposition. Yes, we did.
I'm sorry, did you ask for a chance to put in an expert report of your own after that?
Our understanding is that there's no availability to do that in the third reply.
You didn't ask, right?
No, we did not. On the issue of, so we think this case is more like the Henny Penny case and the Arosa cases that we've cited. In Arosa, the court rejected petitioner's attempt to even add new details to an obviousness ground that it actually had already made from a different section of the art that was in its petition, and that wasn't allowed. And we think that this case is more egregious than that. I'll reserve the remainder of my time for the cross appeal.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Tyler Dutton, and I'm arguing here on behalf of Weber. Judge Prost, you asked the question of why this claim construction issue happened with the determining a surface area of the top slice. And this happened because of how Provisor presented the arguments in its patent owner response. If you go to Appendix 1477, this lists Provisor's arguments that it raised in its patent owner response. Notably missing is this determining a surface area element.
I'm sorry, give me a chance. 1477. Okay. All right.
So on this page, Provisor told the board what its arguments were, and it did not argue a missing element for the determining a surface area. Instead, Provisor buried this argument at Appendix 1507, which actually relates to whether Weber presented a coherent theory for the combination, not necessarily a missing element.
Well, I mean, if you're careful, you use the word buried. I'm not sure I read it as necessarily buried. The argument is therefore clearly made, right?
That's fair, Your Honor.
You choose to characterize it as buried. I'm not sure what buried means in the context of hundreds of pages being thrown around.
That's fair enough. But it wasn't displayed prominently as one of the four principal arguments that Provisor was raising. Instead, they raised this as an argument related to whether Weber had presented a coherent theory for the combination. And the board did address that in its final written decision at Appendix 17. Where the board disagreed with Provisor and understood the combination fully. So reading from this section of the final decision, they stated, quote, petitioner has proposed only that an ordinarily skilled artisan would have been motivated to use Antonissen's higher fidelity imaging technique on the meat after slicing, just as Whitehouse uses sensor 4. And if you go to Appendix 9, the board determined that Whitehouse uses sensor 4 to determine the surface area. And so from kind of the historical context of how this dispute came up and how the board analyzed this issue, it can be reasonably discerned that the board understood the combination and determined that Antonissen's camera would determine the surface area of the top slice when positioned at Whitehouse's sensor 4.
Doesn't the board also say, though, at A13 that the only dispute is the digital image receiving device?
They do say that, Your Honor. And I think the reason why they said that is because this was not one of Provisor's main arguments on appeal. This wasn't one of Provisor's main arguments in the patent owner response. And so we can't fault...
You're asking us to reasonably discern what the board did on an issue that it basically affirmatively says is not an issue.
Well, it says it's not an issue because Provisor did not raise this as a missing element.
That may be why. Maybe that's the explanation for why it was overlooked. But it was overlooked, wasn't it?
It was not overlooked, Your Honor, because at Appendix 13, the board did address this element by adopting Provisor's or adopting Weber's arguments in the patent owner in the petition as their own. And so they cited. On Appendix 12, they cite a bunch of the evidence that Weber put forth to support the obviousness rationale. And within that citation, they include page 21 of the petition, which is the analysis that Antonissen would determine the surface area of the top slice if it was positioned at White House's sensor 4. And the board came to the conclusion that a person of ordinary skill in the art would have moved Antonissen's camera from the cut face to over the top slice.
I'm not sure. Is that so? You're saying that means that the board did consider the arguments and address them? What's your point?
They considered the evidence that Weber put forth and adopted the evidence and the obviousness theories set forth in the petition as their own. They say this expressly on Appendix 13, on the sixth line.
On the sixth line.
And they also address Provisor's...
Well, and that follows right after what Judge Stark was just pointing to, where they made the comment that patent owner does not dispute, the petitioner has demonstrated, blah, 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 all the limitations other than digital image receiving.
That's correct, because to the board's understanding, the only disputed missing element was the digital image receiving device. The argument that Provisor raised in the patent owner response was whether... there was a coherent theory of the combination, and the board agreed with Weber that the combination was quite simple. All you do is move the camera from the cut face to the position of White House's sensor. I'll also note on Appendix 17, where I directed the court's attention to previously, it cites three pages of the petition regarding the combination that Provisor argued was not a coherent theory of obviousness. And they cited to the three portions of the petition where we make clear that what we're doing is putting Antonissen's camera at the location of White House's sensor. And that would determine the surface area of the top slice.
Is it correct that you briefed the 1.5 element because you understood it to be in dispute, just like Provisor did, right?
Yeah, we don't dispute that they raised this as an argument below, but we do dispute the characterization of how they raised this argument below. We don't view their dispute as being a missing element when you adopt the combination, but rather whether there was a cohesive combination to begin with.
Assuming we rule against you, we'd look at the potential of remanding this.
Well, with respect to the determining a surface area of the top slice, this only comes up in some of the claims. It's not in all of the claims. And so we would submit that at most we would do a remand on a partial subset of the claims. It's in, I believe, Claim 1 and Claim 13. But there is no basis for reversal here because Weber did present arguments about determining the surface area. They point to we point to evidence at Appendix 78 as well as Appendix 21 and 24. And so there would be no basis for a reversal. So I'd like to spend a few moments on the evidentiary dispute if there's no questions on the surface area limitation. And here I just want to make the point that there's no unfair prejudice because, like Judge Stark said, or asked, that Provisor had ample opportunities to respond to this evidence. And
well, it couldn't put on an expert, could it?
They could have provided evidence during the depositions, and they also could have asked the board to submit a declaration. Rule 42.5 prints such a request, and the board, that was up to Provisor, and they decided not to ask for that relief. So we think that they had ample opportunities to respond to this evidence on the merits, and they chose not to.
You want to move to the cross appeal?
Yes, Your Honor. So for claims 11 and 12, the board erred here by considering Wislowski in isolation and not the combination as a whole. At appendix 28 through 29, the board looked at whether Wislowski in isolation disclosed a camera located above and aimed at a scale. And after finding that it did not, the board ended its analysis. It did not consider the combination as a whole and how APOSA would have used Wislowski's teachings about...
Well, you know, just like I asked your friend, when we see that there's might be some problem, we always kind of want to figure out how it happened. And I guess I have the same question here because I think there's some heft, frankly, to your second argument on the cross-appeal. And your main argument in that regard is that, hey, they did this, they looked at the combination for claims 2, 6, and 7, reached the right result, but then somehow on the cross-appeal, they isolated Wislowski or whatever. How did that happen? I mean, it's unclear to me why they did what you're arguing they erroneously did.
Yeah, Your Honor, I frankly don't know why they did not look at the combination. I think the board got tunnel vision after they had the construction of Way Conveyor. And they just applied that construction, which
was... Is there an argument that you never made this argument with respect to these claims?
We had always argued that that the combination in Ground 2 disclosed a camera located above and directed at a Way Conveyor, even under the board's narrow construction. And we provide this at the gray brief at page 9, where we showed a side-by-side comparison of White House and then the combination that we presented in the petition. And what's on the right side of the gray brief at page 9 is a screenshot from the petition. All those annotations are in the petition. And so the combination is actually just merely applying Wislowski's general concept of imaging and weighing at the same time and applying that to White House such that a person of ordinary skill in the art would have moved the load cell over to conveyor 19. And the board credited this...
And that's what the board said one skilled in the art would have done with respect to the other claims too. The end result is a scale in the conveyor that's positioned beneath the digital camera.
That's correct, Your Honor. And so their decision here is inconsistent in the sense that they credited this combination for the first two claims of Ground 2, but then did not address it at all for the second two claims. And that's
why...
Was
the board right that for claims 11 and 12, the physical arrangement is required, whereas it isn't for the other three, 2, 6, and 7?
Under the board's construction, it would be required. We disagree for that of that construction for the reasons provided, but ultimately, under that construction, Ground 2 discloses that element.
Right. So I just want to make sure
the references individually do not have that arrangement.
Help me understand the inconsistency you see between invalidating 2, 6, and 7 and not invalidating 11 and 12. As I understand, the board said the difference is that 11 and 12 are narrower claims because they have a specific physical arrangement that's required that's not disclosed in any of your prior art references, whereas that was not necessary to invalidate 2, 6, and 7. Did the board say that, and if so, why were they wrong?
That is an accurate summary of the board's findings. They're wrong because they're looking at each reference individually as whether they disclose that physical arrangement. And we have to look under KSR and In Re Mutet about how a person of ordinary skill would have applied Wislowski's general teachings to White House.
So they were right that none of the individual references disclose the arrangement, but you're saying it would have been obvious to make that arrangement.
That's correct, Your Honor. There's
no
explicit teaching.
Am I right that the first set of claims were method claims and these were apparatus claims? Is that what drove the board to make this distinction?
I believe they're both system claims, but I would have to double check, Your Honor.
Okay.
So unless there are further questions, I'd like to reserve my remaining time for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Your Honors, I'd like to briefly start with the surface area limitation and then move to the cross appeal. In response to Mr. Dutton's argument on the surface area claims, petitioner would flip the burdens here by having Weber not have to put forward the case on obviousness and instead look to what provisor said in response as to what the board should look at for obviousness. That's not the standard. The board made no findings on the surface area limitation, and we cannot substitute Weber's suppositions about what the board might have found based on its other findings with regard to the surface area limitations, which in fact claims 1, 13, and 9. Moving to the cross appeal issue.
Your friend called out 1 and 13.
Yes.
You say 9 also.
9 also has a surface area limitation in it. Yes, Your Honor. Judge Prost, on the cross appeal, you started by asking why did the board do what it did. I think the board did what it did because it looked at what Weber's arguments were and applied the law to its arguments and made fact findings consistent with that. Weber argued in grounds 2 that there was a 4 reference obviousness combination. It added Wyslotsky there. So appropriately, after going through the entire petition, looking at what the other three, Hardy and Tonneson, and White House disclosed, it focused, yes, its decision on grounds 2 on Wyslotsky. It had not yet discussed that in the brief, in its final written decision. Weber just didn't make a compelling record as to why the specific physical arrangement on claims 11 and 12 were obvious. Weber chose to spend only one page of its petition on claims 11 and 12 and not more. Weber said, I think I heard Weber say up here when Mr. Dutton was arguing, that claims 11 and 12 do not have a specific physical arrangement. However, I would respectfully say that the claim language itself requires a specific physical limitation.
I didn't understand to say that, but let me ask you. There is a dispute about the construction of weight conveyor in connection with their appeal, right? And you're defending at least the implicit construction that the board made. Is that right?
I would not phrase it like that, Your Honor. I don't think there's a claim construction dispute here.
Was there any claim construction briefing?
No. Weber, in its petition, did not say that the claim term need to be construed. Provisor did not put forth one. The final written decision does not put forth one
in
the claim.
But the board does limit weight conveyor to scales, I think it is, right?
I don't think that's true either, Your Honor. The one place where that is mentioned in the final written decision is not in the claim construction section, but in the first on page 24, appendix 24.
If they did limit it to a scale, would that be a correct limitation?
I don't think anyone has been arguing that it has to be limited to a scale. I don't think Weber's arguments depend on it being limited to a scale, and I don't think that the board limited it to a scale.
Thank you.
What really happened here is I think Weber didn't like the outcome on some of the claims, 11 and 12, in its ground 2 analysis, while it did like the other outcome on the analysis. And I actually think it's hypocritical for Weber to, on one hand, say that the board's analysis as to claims 2, 6, and 7 was fine, and then say that it was not with regard to claims 11 and 12. For example, on
final thought, because you've exceeded your time. So just give us your final.
Sure. My final thought is I don't think that the board did anything in isolation here. In fact, last sentence and last paragraph before the board makes its ultimate finding on 11 and 12 explains well that it looked at Wyslotsky and Antonison and Hardy and White House, and found that the petitioner offers no persuasive reason why an ordinary skilled artisan would have modified the references to achieve such an arrangement. Thank you.
Thank you.
A couple quick notes on rebuttal, Your Honors. The board did limit claims 11 and 12 to require a scale. This is explicit at Appendix 24, where they stated that claims 11 and 12 require that a camera is located above and aimed at a scale used to weigh the stack. And there is no scale otherwise recited in the claims. This construction, it's our opinion that infected the board's analysis with respect to claims 11 and 12, and that they looked at Wislowski in isolation to determine whether it had a camera located above and aimed at a scale used to weigh the stack.
So if you're right, it's an implicit claim construction. Shouldn't we send it back to the board and you all can argue about claim construction and see if they stick to that position or not?
So we submit that reversal is the proper remedy here because Provisor did not preserve any arguments related to claims 11 and 12. They did not argue that ground 2, as presented in the petition, as we showed at Appendix 127, that combination has a camera located above and aimed at a scale. And they also did not appeal the board's factual finding with respect to claims 2 and 7. So, or claims 6 and 7. So that rationale that the board applied should be a final factual finding. And with those findings, that would justify a finding of obviousness.
Well, don't you think reversal is a little much here, as I said, just because forgetting the scale stuff and just going into the argument you're making with respect to the comparability of 2, 6, and 7 to give the board an opportunity to explain if it really does think there's a distinction to be made between the two sets of claims, or you think they don't get another chance because what they did was just wrong on the record as presented.
So it's our view that they can't disturb their result for claims 6 and 7 because those are assuming that Weber prevails on the direct appeal. There would be no issues.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with that. Yeah.
There would be no issues with respect to claims 6 and 7. And so in order to have a consistent opinion that's not arbitrary and capricious, we would need to have that same rationale apply to claims 11 and 12.
Thank you. So,
thank you, Your Honor.
We thank both sides for the cases submitted. That concludes our proceedings this morning.